flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
405 DGS on KMOX. So I'm not going off on this group of people I'm about to talk about. In fact, I'm a little bit jealous of them. But the people who are at the Capital One Arena in D.C., the people who had tickets to the inauguration and got shifted over there to watch the inauguration have been there since like 8 in the morning. And Donald Trump is just now heading over there now to give remarks. I'm kind of jealous of people who care about something enough to sit for 8 hours just doing nothing, waiting for something to happen. I'm trying to think what I would do that for, who I would do that for, what band, what politician, what speaker, and I'm coming up with nothing.
I mean, people for a long time would do that to stand in line to get tickets for concerts back in the day when you did that. Similar dynamic?
Yeah, maybe.
Because I was saying right before the break or right before the break ended, I was noting that because you brought it up. And I'm like, man, to me, it feels like just the whole all day Super Bowl coverage. Like, I can't do it. I don't watch any pregame Super Bowl thing. It's just too much. There's only so many things you can say about a game that people can talk about for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, when we've been watching it all. And I kind of feel the same way about all of these things. Like, all right, I get wanting to see the person that you voted for. Like, I get that. And see them speak and be there. It's part of history and all that. But man, 8 hours is a lot. Yeah, maybe I would have gotten there around 3 o'clock. And be like, ah.
By the time we've gotten to like just this like band playing, it's like okay.
You think all of them were there at 8? Or, you know, like did they have to be there at the start of whatever was starting? Because I would got to imagine a lot of them were like, yeah, we'll just get there mid afternoon. And
plus, no offense to my friend Andrew who played the euphonium, but no one wants to hear band music. Yeah, like you go to a thing like that and it's like, no, God, stop it. There's so many genres of music that you want to hear one song of. I was watching some show the other night, just flipping around, and it was probably PBS because it was about Irish music.
That sounds some... PBS stuff.
And
right
I was
there.
Like, you only need one Irish song.
Hoity-toity?
For all of them. That's it. Just doing? One. There's no need to play. And now we got, nope, there's no need. Just play that one again.
I wonder if, like, people that like that those specific things you're talking about, what if they think the same thing about our music?
I'm sure. Yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
Why do you need another rock song?
Just you play hear the AC/DC, same one over you're right, like, right. There's no need to play Back in Black. You just played Shook Me All Night Long. Yeah. The same damn song.
Well, that's not that far off.
Yeah, AC/DC is a bad example. Their songs do kind of sound the same.
So let's talk some sports. So 3 weeks, that's not possible until pitchers and catchers?
It's Valentine's week.
Man.
Yeah, it's like the 11th, I think, right?
Yeah, I think they report on the 11th, yeah.
Man, that's nuts. It just flew by.
Yeah, less so to me. Less so to me because I'm following all of this stuff day to day and it feels like it's dragging with the end of free agency and the impact that it's had on the Cardinals' ability to make their move with Arenado, and that's holding back other things, and we don't have any, you know, we talk about this stuff every day and we always have to throw in the clause like, well, we don't really know what this is going to look like yet.
Okay, so let me tell you what I think it's going to look like and you tell me how close I am. So with Arenado, he's at third.
Yep.
Paez is catching with Herrera backing him up.
Combination. They'll both start a lot.
You have Wynn, of course.
Yep.
You have Contreras, of course.
Yep. First base.
Second base.
Probably Gorman.
Where do you think Donovan will be then?
Left field.
Okay, not Burley.
No, Burley would be the DH in that scenario. But you could, if you want, like on a given day, Burley goes to the outfield, Donovan goes to second, Gorman goes to DH. I mean, it would move around.
You think they start Siani in center field?
Yes.
He's kind of your hobgoblin. I know you like him.
Well, he can't hit.
And you respect his defense?
Yeah, he's a great defender. He's an elite base runner, and he's an elite defender. He just can't hit. Now, here's the problem, though. If Arenado's there and Donovan's in left, well, then where's Lars Nootbaar?
He's not in right, is he?
Center field. So that's why it's all weird, because we don't know exactly how that would play with Nolan Arenado. With Nolan Arenado, you have to either give up on your idea of defense in center field, which, by the way, I'm signing off on, because Walker's going to play every day. He's not going back to Memphis this year. He's going to work it out in the big leagues.
How disappointed are you if they send him back down?
It might be the thing that I have been most critical of them in the 18 years that I've been here. If they do that. That would probably get more hellfire from me, because you can't just keep doing the same thing. You have to figure it out, and you can't do it by doing it in Memphis. You got to figure it out at the major league level. And, you know, like, there have been a few things that I've given them pretty good heat about. I raised hell about them not playing Randy Arozarena for, I don't know, months on end. I mean, we had a song on our show about it, Randy A, up today. And we were talking, because he was the best hitter in AAA, and they would just never call him up. And they would never give him the chance. And when they called him up, he sat and he played part time. And they just kept refusing to put him in there. And this would be worse than that. Because this is a guy that now we've done, that'd be the third year in a row that you've been, you know, planning on, hoping on, trying to get him in there. So you got to play him.
Who are the guys on the bubble? Who are the guys, like, I'm thinking of the Sejacis and Graceffos and people like that, who probably should be on a major league roster but may not be?
Well, I mean, Sejacis definitely on the bubble, because if Arenado's here, he's probably not. He's probably in Memphis, because you don't want him sitting that much. There just aren't enough at bats if Arenado's here.
Is he trade bait at all?
Not yet. I mean, yes, but also he's not a top 100 prospect. He's not one of those elite guys. He's somebody that can be an above average player, not necessarily a star, but he can be an above average player, which has great value when you're young and inexpensive.
And where do you see Victor Scott?
I don't know. That's a great question. I would lean more toward Victor Scott playing over Siani as a starting center fielder. Assuming Arenado is moved, and then the rest of the alignment falls into place where Gorman goes to third, Donovan's playing second, Nootbaar's in left, center field is one of your two fast guys, and then you got everything else kind of falling into place. Burleson's your DH, all that.
So Victor Scott could be your center fielder of the future, but you don't think that about Siani?
No. I mean, okay, so just to get, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on it, because I don't want to be super boring when it comes to numbers. But if you look at their minor league track records, Michael Siani was like a 240 minor league hitter with no power, no big on-base skill. And that typically doesn't get better when you get to the major leagues. It typically doesn't. And when you look at things that are measurable that we can look at, like bat speed and contact rate and all of those things, at the major league level, we don't have a huge sample size with Siani because he was only up last year and it wasn't like he was an everyday player. But when it comes to how hard he hits the ball, how fast he gets the bat through the zone, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's in the bottom 6-8% in baseball in those things. And it's hard to be a good hitter when you're not hitting the ball hard and hitting it frequently. And if you look at him in the minor leagues, his career minor league batting average was .243. Slugged .350, which means no power. I mean, if you're not slugging .400, you don't have any. You're not bringing any power to the game. I almost called him Michael Scott. Victor Scott the second. When you look at his track record at the major league level, it's terrible, because he got a run and then he wasn't ready. I mean, let's be honest. He made the team because Dylan Carlson got hurt last year, And he probably wasn't, not probably, he was not ready to be in the majors. But if you look at his minor league track record, like coming into last year, he's a 300 hitter. And he was, so just as an example, he slugged in 2023, so the year before last year, slugged over 400. Well, if you're a guy that steals 97 bases and you're slugging over 400 and you're hitting 300, that's at least a track record where you can be like, okay, there's something there. 20 doubles, 10 triples, 9 home runs.
Because then maybe you're 240 average in the bigs.
So maybe you're 260, but you have enough pop to hit doubles and triples, and your defense and your speed and your base, like it translates a little bit better. So that's what makes it tough is, you know, between the two. Now, if you look at Victor Scott's AAA numbers, they're not good. That was mostly at AA that we saw those numbers. But Siani did not hit at AA, at A-ball, at AAA. He didn't hit of any note then, so why would it be different now? So it's not about not liking him. I think he's a major league player. I think he's a backup. And I think you're really hurting your offense if you're starting him on a regular basis.
For most people, there are exceptions. But for most people, how much can you add when you get them to the big leagues? Like if you really have them do the work on the offseason, you send them back down to AAA for a while, do people add 25 points to their batting average? Do people add 100 points to their slugging?
There are absolutely examples of players that put up better numbers in the major leagues than they did in the minor leagues. Sometimes it's just as simple as being around the top tier coaching, having access to the video room, things along those lines, but it's more rare. The opposite is more often true, that you're going to be worse than your minor league numbers were. That is the norm. It's not the 100, it's not 100%. And there are several players that I can think of whose minor, like, look, Aaron, if you looked at Aaron Judge's minor league numbers, they weren't as good as his major league numbers have been. He wasn't hitting 40, 50 home runs a year in the minor leagues because he was still figuring things out. The question is, do you have the core things that go into fixing that, right? So in Judge's case, what does he have? Incredible strength, incredible bat speed. All he needed to do was figure out how to hit the ball in the air more often, which is kind of what we're talking about with Jordan Walker, right? Walker is similar to Judge in size, strength, bat speed. He's just not there yet on pitch recognition and on hitting the ball in the air more often. Again, line drives are in the air. Not, I'm not just talking about fly balls, right? Just don't hit ground balls. And so, like, there's at least the hope that if he gets that, he's got the physical tools. With someone that doesn't hit the ball very hard, it's really difficult to make that change, to gain that bat speed that you're looking for by the time you get to the big leagues.
I heard Paulie interviewing Victor Scott II over the weekend at the winter warm-up. And, I mean, duh, all of us would like to be being paid to play baseball. But this guy's making $700,000-$800,000 a year.
Oh, not even.
I thought that was the minimum.
Well, but if he's in the big leagues, he's making that. But he's when he's in the big leagues.
But he's making a good living.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like he will one day. And he said, oh, I live in Jupiter, and I'm at the complex every single day.
Yep.
God, that sounds good.
Dude, I know. Isn't it great?
Just sounds fantastic.
I know. Mason Wynn's been down there working on things. Jordan Walker's been down there all offseason. That it is, when you look at it that way, when you're thinking about how cool it is to be these guys, and it's cooler to be the proven guys, right? It's cooler to be the one that does not have to go fight for a job in spring training. But when you're just on that cusp and you know that all you have to do is keep working on making these changes to stay in the major leagues, it's pretty cool. We had a version of that in college. It's not quite the same because you weren't getting paid. But it's still that when that's all you're focused on, like you were talking about during that holiday break, that was a pretty cool time.
So you're like me. Tonight you're kind of rooting for the Irish, but
can't root for Notre Dame.
Why?
Well, I went to Miami, and they are a hated rival, Catholics versus Convicts.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they are an enemy of the state of the University of Miami football program. I also grew up 20 minutes from University of Michigan, another fan base that hates Notre Dame, big rivals.
Fair enough.
Which is the only thing that's weird about it is I went to a high school that's basically Notre Dame. Irish Catholic school.
I was going to say, aren't you raised Catholic?
We were the Shamrocks. good at football. A lot of our guys went there.
Hoity-toity, too.
I know. No, it's and again, it's a fandom thing. It's not a, like, I don't hate people that went to Notre Dame. I got good friends that went to Notre Dame, but I can't root for that program. But I also can't root for Ohio State. Hate them too.
All right, you having a good time tonight?
I got a hate. Okay. I got a hate fest tonight, which means I can't win tonight. Either way, I lose.
I like how optimistic Kevin is today.
It'll be. I mean, I just hope to be entertained. That's all. Give me a good game.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
424 DGS. All right, Rachel's gone, right?
Yes.
She didn't come back? Okay. So you know that thing that at least guys have? Like, you need to pee.
Yes.
You know you need to pee.
Oh, yeah.
But you're okay until you see the porcelain, and then you're like, it's 911. This could go at any time.
It's okay. So interesting you say that.
All right.
I have had that exact feeling.
Of course you have. Like, we all do.
But I've, like, noticed it, like, a few times in the past week.
Well, there's also a thing, supposedly, that men especially have, that if someone around you starts to urinate, oh, I gotta go. Or if you hear water or something.
Hmm.
So they've done these chimp studies about it, and they have now proven that it is a great ape thing.
Oh.
That when someone is urinating around you, you gotta go.
It just and it's clicks very, that part in your brain.
Yeah, and it's very similar to when someone yawns. Ooh,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
man, ooh, you yeah. made me yawn. Same kind of thing.
You just made me yawn.
Hope I don't make you pee.
No. Yeah, about another 45 minutes for that.
So I guess they just put a bunch of monkeys in a field and waited until one peed and then...
I don't know. Yeah, I say they must have just observed. Maybe, did they... Yeah, it had to be done in a zoo, right? Like, because it's easier to observe.
As opposed to?
Well, out in the wild, it's hard to find those guys. They're
hiding you don't know when they're going to be.
Yeah, well, you don't know where they are. So I guess they kind of know where they live, right?
Interesting, though, that when they confirm the stuff we've always known our whole life.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see how similar that the species.
You don't seem to have the porcelain thing, though.
I don't think
so. Maybe you
just
control your bladder
better.
But
I just may not have thought about it. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of a dummy when it comes to that stuff. I am the guy, I did this weekend where I was watching football, playing video games, and then all of a sudden I realized.
You just peed yourself?
No, but close.
No!
I was like, damn, I'm in an emergency situation and I haven't peed in 4 hours. And then you're like, well, better go.
Man, you get into it, man.
What's that?
Your video games. You get immersed.
When I'm in.
In the world.
That's why I'm always like yelling at the TV and stuff because I'm in the game, man.
But then don't you find that then when you get to the bathroom, you just can't move fast enough?
I don't notice the difference between the trip to the bathroom and the arrival in there. I don't notice that there's a difference.
When your brain sees that porcelain and it's on. Because your body knows it's time to go. Time for action.
Again, it might just be a lack of awareness. I don't think there are clearly the times where you're like, oh, shoot, better go. Got to get moving. But it doesn't change when I cross that threshold and see the toilet.
When's the last time you didn't make it?
I don't think I've not made it when I've attempted to make it.
I would have bet everything I had on that answer.
Mr. Perfect.
I would have bet it all.
No, it's not about perfect. I just
ask Andrew when the last time he didn't make it today.
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes ago.
You didn't make it?
Yeah, oh yeah. Check right there in the corner.
Right by you.
Look out.
Man, I thought I saw that.
Well, now you know.
I mean, no, I don't think I've had
If you know, you know.
I don't think I've had the oops, didn't make it.
Well, aren't we a grown-up?
Yeah. Well, no, but I've had the other.
That you have doors in your car.
I've had the other kind of oops. I thought that was one thing and it was another.
Oh, okay. Well, that's worse. All right.
Yeah, all right. You got us there.
Don't ever trust that thing. Welcome back, guys. DGS 434. Right? Yeah, 434.
Mm-hmm.
So this weekend was interesting. I took the kids over to my mom's house. So we sold my mom's house a couple weeks ago. in principle, you know, signed the contract, but it's still going, you know, all the stuff's going on. So I will be back over there a couple more times. The kids won't. So it was their final walkthrough.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't quite as emotional as we thought it would be because
really?
My brother-in-law has been there and, you know, removing some stuff and like the kitchen table was covered in stuff. So it wasn't like the last time we were there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it wasn't like stepping into.
Yeah, it wasn't like a time capsule.
I get you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Things had been rearranged and.
Right.
Okay, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was still, of course, you know. And then we went over to the grave and I brought roses and we like to, you know, take the rose petals off. And then it was very muddy where my mom's grave was and Phoebe walked across it in her boots. And we got to crush her for that for a couple hours. That was really great. Because I went, planted a tree when my brother passed away in Wanda Cemetery, and I walked over to put some flowers on it. When I went back, I'm like, who's walking on Grandma? And everyone's like, Phoebe. So that was kind of fun.
Are you guys grave visitors?
Yes.
In general?
Yes.
No, but also haven't lost a parent or, you know, like the closest would be like my grandmother, and the cemetery is way far away.
Well, the real test is going to be now. Because I can literally stand at the grave and see my mom and dad's house.
Oh, so it's that close.
It's that. Okay. It's literally 200 yards away. But now that my mom's house will be gone, the only reason to go will be the graves.
Yeah.
And so that'll be the real test of how much do I go.
I don't think I'm going to be a grave visitor.
Well, I got started really because, so when my, yes, when my dad passed away, which was in March, and then my brother passed away the same year in December. Mm. But that whole time, he would go over there most every day, and he would take a bottle of water and some Scott towels, and he would wash off the tombstone.
Really?
And so there's a big tombstone that has my mom and dad's name on it, and then there are the two Army tombstones, Navy and Army, that are like the bronze ones that are flush with the ground. And he would always clean the grass clippings off. So then when he passed away, I started doing that.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And then when I don't do it, Nick does it. And so we're carrying that tradition on.
Yeah, I get it. And I might be totally wrong. I might be. I don't think I will be right now. But I also, having not been in that position, I don't know. Maybe I will find that a routine like that helps.
We've always been grave visitors in my family, and I thought that was like, I thought it was just like a one of those things you grow up.
Like, of course you go.
Like, yeah, of course you do. Everybody does. Every single person. My wife had like never even, she couldn't conceive of it. She's like,
I honestly don't know
about
that I've done it outside of being at a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
But also a lot of the cemeteries where my family members would be buried, you know, grandparents, things like that, aunts and uncles, they're all nowhere near where I live. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was thinking about it that I've made the joke because I have a complicated relationship with my hometown since they said they wouldn't put a sign up saying home of Dave Glover, never set a guy on fire. And I've always said like, oh, whatever you do, don't bury me here. Don't bury me in South Roxana. It's the last place in the world. But it's the only place where I have people. It's the only cemetery I have a connection. I will be cremated, hopefully. I don't want to be buried or embalmed or anything like that. But it's also the place where I probably had my happiest times. You know, if you throw out the easy stuff like with kids.
Right, right.
Okay, that doesn't count. But mini bikes and 10 speeds and floor hockey and ghost in the graveyard. And yeah, I had a blast in South Roxana.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, it's the same way about where I can think of the street that I grew up on. And it's, again, I haven't lived there since I was 14 years old, but it still was. That's the cool stuff. You know, when you're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, you don't care about big things in the world. You know, your biggest worries are, well, what am I going to do at school today? Or do I have a test? Do I have a project? You're just mostly playing around and doing things like that.
Do you think it's important to have a place to go for your family to go to? Put a flower somewhere, even if it's just where they spread your ashes?
I hope not.
I do.
Because I don't want one for me.
You don't want a place?
Nah.
Really?
Nah. I mean, I don't care. If somebody wants to create it when I'm gone, I don't care. But
what if somebody went to you at your home and they were like, hey, my parent or my aunt or whatever used to live here and they want the ashes scattered here where they used to
live?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
would you guys be like okay with that? If they were like, yep, she wants it in the bedroom where she...
No, not inside the house.
Hell no.
Interesting.
Not inside the
house. What if they wanted to just spread it in your backyard?
Yeah, just the yard. Just like this is the yard where she... The patio there is where she sat every night in the summer and all her best memories were out there with the kids.
I don't know.
That means no.
If it was like, hey, we want to take this urn and bury it in the backyard, I'd be like, sure, go ahead.
Really?
I don't care. What's the difference?
Ghosts.
So, ghosts, yeah.
I'm not worried about that.
Ghosts, very much. So you're more hesitant to have them scatter the ashes
and only,
as opposed to digging up the yard and sticking
the urn
down there.
Not digging up the yard. You don't have to do that much. But,
you got to go 6 feet under.
The only reason I say it that way is I'm thinking about it as a person that owns dogs. I don't know. Is it bad for dogs? Does it matter? I don't know. That would be my hesitation. That was my thought. Like, well, I don't know.
Man,
my dogs are out there. Yeah, plus I don't want my dogs peeing on that. You know, that might be disrespectful to the person whose ashes were spilled.
Dog's taking a big snort of some...
In fairness, let me try this tact with you.
Okay.
Ghosts.
Yeah.
Not sure you're thinking this one through.
You haven't thought about ghosts. And that's why it's got to be 6 feet, so they got to dig.
No worries about ghosts.
Really dig.
Until one taps me on the shoulder and says hi, I'm not worried about them.
What if they showed up with ashes and said, this is what they always wanted, then they blew them in your face?
That person's going to get punched real hard.
Wow. But that's what dad wanted.
Yeah. Real hard.
Whoever buys this blow my ashes in his face.
Man. They show up and say, my dad always wanted these ashes to be your problem.
And my response to that would be, your dad obviously wants you to get it punched in the face.
Wow. Hard. I'm learning a lot about him today.
Yeah, well, I mean, what would you do if somebody did that to you?
If it's their final wishes, blow away.
And I don't care if it was ashes or just dirt. You come up and do that to me, I'm going to punch you in your face.
You got a lot of stuff you're punching people for.
Well,
just telling you that.
Stop punching me.
What else?
Yeah, quit punching at
what
all
else
of
have
us.
I said?
Oh, what was he punching people earlier? Help me out.
Something about when he had to pee in the toilet, right?
No,
when
no,
that
know,
porcelain,
it might
you
have been,
to punch somebody it in
might
the face?
Have been. It might have been if somebody threw me under the bus and let a mob come after me. Yeah, I'll punch you in your face for that, too. Yeah,
that's what it was?
Yeah. Man, wouldn't you?
Punchy.
Wouldn't you?
Not if I were the vice president and I saved the country.
I'd still... Dude, he earned that.
Have you punched all these people?
Yeah, are you this punchy in your normal life? I don't remember you hitting
anybody. I don't have any of these.
I've known you for a while.
None of these things have happened to me for a long time, but when people did... Like, for example, when you're... You know, teammates, we used to play pranks on each other. Like, dude, what is it? One of the guys, he like used one. He did the towel thing where you can wet towel and snap you.
Yeah,
and he caught me and it hurt. And I punched him in his chest,
right in the creech.
I punched him in his chest hard.
Listen, let me get one thing clear.
Another guy
now.
In college getting my face like in my face, and he got punched in the chest really hard.
All right, let me clear
something.
Chest
puncher.
Let me clear something.
I'm short, and that's all I can reach.
If I pull a prank on you,
no.
or snap you with a towel, please do not punch me in the face or chest.
You have a towel?
I can get one.
Yeah.
I can find one, probably.
I mean, I don't think I would react the same at 53.
If you snap him with a wet towel, I'll punch you.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work to go through to snap him with a wet towel.
Now, if it was you and now, I might laugh at it. When I was 20 and a guy caught me off guard, I was not going to.